This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, powered by the Family Research Council, your embassy of faith, family, and freedom in the heart of our nation's capital. Now, here's your host, FRC President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Thursday edition, a lot happening here in Washington, D.C. on a whole lot of issues. But we took time out this morning to recognize 245 members of Congress, the largest number ever, for being true blue, voting 100% on family issues. We'll hear from one of those true blue members of Congress, Indiana Congressman Jim Banks, in just a moment. And knowing what to say and when to say it is critical. Peter Sprigg will join us to discuss one of FRC's latest resources that I think you will find very helpful in the debate for our values. He'll be joining us a little bit later. And you've heard me talk about this quite frequently. George Soros, oftentimes fueled by U.S. tax dollars, which his programs are undermining conservative governments abroad. Well, one of them is finally fighting back. Hungary, passing a resolution in Parliament to basically pull the curtain back on George Soros. We'll be talking with one of their government spokesmen a little bit later here on Washington Watch. Also, Randy Wilson, our national field director in our church ministry's outreach, is in Michigan today for a rally in support of Pastor Jeremy Sasho. So he'll join us a little bit later to give us the update on what is happening. If you might recall, we had Pastor Jeremy on the program earlier this week, who's come under attack simply for wanting to speak truth to those who would want to hear it. Amazing. But that's become controversial. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. As I mentioned, a record number of members of Congress, 245 members, scored a perfect 100% for votes cast this past year. And this was according to Family Research Council Action and our annual vote scorecard. Now, these are members of Congress who demonstrate an unwavering commitment and consistency in support of faith, family, and freedom during the second session of the 114th Congress. And with us now is one of our True Blue recipients, Congressman Jim Banks. He represents the 3rd Congressional District of Indiana, and he serves on the House Armed Services Committee. Jim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, great to be with you again.
It was good to see you this morning. And again, congratulations on being a True Blue member of Congress. And a lot of votes. Actually, we oftentimes don't have votes that we can score. But there were a number of important bills related to life, related to the values we care about, peeling back some of the bad regulations of the previous administration. So what do you attribute this kind of a surge of conservatism in our Congress?
Well, first of all, Tony, you have no idea how much that True Blue Award means to me. I ran for Congress because I wanted to focus on these issues, from protecting our religious liberty to fighting for the right to life. And that award to me is a testament that we've been productive. We've been focused on issues that matter to families. And at the end of the day, I attribute the great work that we've done to the focus of our leadership, from Speaker Ryan, Majority Leader McCarthy, who I saw there this morning as well, your friend, and my friend, the Majority Whip, Steve Scalise. We have leadership in the Republican Conference who are focused on these important issues of values as well. But the leadership are elected by the rank and file members of the conference, like myself, and it shows that when we elect pro-life leaders like Paul Ryan, that we're going to focus on pro-life priorities as a conference. And we also have a great partner in President Trump, Vice President Pence. This administration is focused on these issues that matter as well. I'm just enormously proud to be a part of a Republican Congress at a time when we're focused on the issues that matter most to our society and to our families.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we only have to pick up the paper, we only have to watch the news and realize that these value issues matter. And I know the president talks about making America great again. But I mean, for America to be great, it has to be good first. It has to have a moral foundation. And that's really what these votes are focused on. And folks, Congressman Banks and others voted on issues. Some of these, difficult issues for some. But here's votes like no taxpayer funding for abortion, disapproval of Obama's HHS Title 10 rule, the Obamacare repeal and replace, confirmation of Neil Gorsuch, that was in the Senate, the DOD transgender funding that was forcing the military to move with his transgenderism, the D.C. budget autonomy, basically trying to keep your tax dollars from being spent on abortion-related and anti-faith initiatives. The Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act that passed the House, got a vote in the Senate. Also repealing the death panel in Obamacare and the Tax Cuts and the Jobs Act bill. So a lot of issues there, Congressman Banks, that people can be, feel good that the Congress is moving in the right direction. Now, I think you would agree, and I know the conversation I had with many this morning was they'd like to see more movement. They'd like to see move faster, but at least I think we're headed in the right direction.
As you read that list, I'm just very proud of what we've been able to do. But no doubt we have a lot more work to do. We passed so many bills in the House of Representatives that go to the Senate to die, to get out from under the 60-vote rule, the rules of the Senate that have prevented a great deal of progress on so many different issues that we haven't been able to move forward and put a bill on the president's desk to sign means that we have a lot more work to do. But I will say all of those issues that you mentioned, every single one of them, those aren't just right-winger, fringe, conservative issues. Those are each and every one of those issues are popular by among mainstream Americans. And our right. country drifted so far to the left during the 8 years of the Obama administration that we've begun to unwind and get back to a level of common sense on so many of these issues that matter to families. And but as you mentioned so eloquently, we do have a lot more work to do.
Congressman Jim Banks, I think that is a critical point that people need to hear. The way the country had drifted and what had become what we were told were mainstream values were actually very liberal, in some cases anti-American values. Now, the media is still there. And so the media attacks this administration and the Republicans in Congress when they try to restore the foundations that have been, the last administration took a jackhammer to. But you are absolutely correct. When you look at the polls overwhelmingly, not that we make decisions by the polls, but it shows us that the things that the Republicans are doing, conservatives, I should say, not Republicans, the conservatives are doing in Congress are in line with the majority of where Americans are.
No doubt about it. And one great example, we've surveyed the constituents in my district, for example, about taxpayer funding for abortion. And this isn't an issue where it's just those of us who are pro-life that believe that life begins at conception believe in that we should defund public funding for abortion. We even have independent voters in our district who might even support abortion that don't think that our taxpayer dollars should go toward funding abortion. So there are a lot of issues like that we've found some success, but we have so much more work to do to defund public funding of Planned Parenthood, for example,
right.
To continue to advance this cause for life and on so many other subjects as well.
Congressman, before I let you go, I know it's a busy day. You got a lot of stuff going on. Let me ask you this when it comes to your constituents, I mean, and not just yours, but how important is it for our listeners, those who are, in 40 states across the country, who disproportionately share our values, they're conservative, how important is it that they let their voice be heard, that they be engaged to back up those of you that are true blue, that are trying to do the right thing? How important is that?
It means so much, Tony. I mean, every day we hear from a very vocal, small minority, oftentimes not even from our own district, that that are motivated out of pure hatred of this president and the conservative values that we all share. We hear from them all the time. I find that oftentimes there are phone calls that come into our office that aren't even representative of individuals that live in my district. So to get phone calls and emails from those who support these values, it makes a big difference. I know folks are sometimes skeptical that their voice maybe doesn't matter, but it really does. An email, a phone call, a tweet, a text, I mean, they all add up to continue to motivate us to do what's right, to advance these issues and these values, and it makes a tremendous difference. And there's no group out there that I think is that does such a good job of that as Family Research Council and educating your constituents on how to do that. I know that your listeners today can go to your website and find out ways that they can communicate with their elected representatives to show that support.
Well, again, Congressman, thank you for that. Congressman Jim Banks, thank you for your leadership on these issues. And again, I congratulate you on being one of the True Blue members of Congress. And as always, great to have you on the program.
Thank you. It means so much. Have a good day.
All right. Congressman Jim Banks of Indiana. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And I want to take just a moment before we hit the break, and Peter Sprigg's going to be joining us next. This is one of the things I heard repeatedly over and over this morning. And I don't know, we had 100 or plus members that came by to receive their awards, that they get discouraged. And it's number one, they were so thankful that we recognize the tough stands that many of them take. They also like to hear from you. Now, oftentimes we're very good at sounding the alarm when they're going the wrong direction. But if you're a member of Congress, and you can find out, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over, and you can see the scorecard, and it shows the 245 members who were true blue. If you have a member of Congress or a senator, or your senators or senator, however many from your state that were true blue, send them a note and say, thank you. Thank you for being true blue. Now, make them a time where they're on the wrong side of an issue. That's okay. Then you can talk to them about it. They may have been, there's some that were there this morning that I've been on the other side of some issues. But in this session of Congress, we were together, and so we wanted to thank them and commend them for their stance. And so I would encourage you to do the same. Look, these are human beings. These are people. And in this toxic environment where the media is so filled with really venom against conservatives, against biblical truth, and they're constantly being hit both nationally, for those that step out nationally, and then back in their home states oftentimes, it is refreshing to get a note of encouragement. So do that. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, you can see the scorecard, and contact your member of Congress if they are a true blue member of Congress, okay? It's instructive, and we want to continue with these record numbers of true blue members of Congress. I've got some theories as to why it's there. Part, I think it is because of Donald Trump is making it easier for people to stand up for what they believe in. Doesn't mean we agree with him on everything, but I agree and I believe 100% in fighting for what you believe in. And that's one thing that I think Donald Trump has communicated. All right, when we come back, in recent decades, there has been an assault on the sexes. To counter these attacks, FRC has developed a new resource to help you navigate these disturbing trends, to be able to speak and know what to speak when these things come up for discussion. That's next here on Washington Watch with Peter Sprigg. Don't go away. We're back after this.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. As senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. Remember the website, TonyPerkins.com. A lot of resources there today for you. And another one I want to point your attention to, we're going to discuss right now. Over the past couple of decades, the culture has been bombarded with so-called alternative realities about human sexuality. I mean, it's let me just put it this way. When I arrived at FRC 15 years ago, if you told me that the national debate was going to be focused on what bathroom to use, I would have thought that you were doing drugs. And I also would not have thought drugs were legal, but they are. So maybe the two are connected. I'm not sure. Not sure. But there has been an attack on the previously undisputed reality that human beings are created either male or female. And I might remind you that this is not something that we've cooked up, okay? Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, said to the crowd, have you not read from the beginning that that God made them male and female? And then he went on to talk about marriage. So Jesus, in the red letters, by the way, for you out there who only believe the red letters, Jesus talked about gender and marriage in the New Testament, okay? But I'm getting off on another topic. So there are significant differences between the sexes, and those differences result in at least some differences in the roles played by men and women in society. But they've had to try to eradicate that. Now people who see the obvious are afraid to talk about it. So joining me now to tell us how we talk about it is FRC's own Peter Sprigg with a new publication, How to Respond to the LGBT Movement. Peter, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
Now, Peter, you've been here just a little bit longer than me.
Right.
Did you really think we would be discussing these issues when you joined FRC?
No. Especially with the transgender issue, this has developed so quickly and has gone in such a radical direction that I wouldn't have even believed it 3 or 4 years ago, let alone in 2001 when I first came to FRC.
But we need to know how to address the issue.
Right. And this new publication, How to Respond to the LGBT Movement, is filled with a lot of facts. Basically, this is a movement that is built on mythology, frankly, myths that have been promoted as part of an aggressive propaganda campaign, to be perfectly honest, to try to change the way that society thinks about these issues. And so in this publication, we've responded to these particular myths. For example, the idea that people are born gay or the idea that surgery can change your sex. And given the sort of the scientific arguments refuting that. Mm-hmm. So we want people to be able to refute these lies with the truth and in a way that's easy to understand. So this is a sort of an update of some previous publications we've had. The research has all been updated. It's thoroughly footnoted. But at the same time, it's in a language that should be easy enough for any reader to understand.
Now, Peter Sprigg, you, I mean, you probably are one of the foremost experts in the country on this movement. I'm sure you don't want to be that, but you have been just by necessity.
Not what I aspired to be as a child.
But I mean, look, it's a valuable service because I think people are the media is spewing basically the propaganda of the left on this. And we come at this, we know truth, okay? We know the Bible is true. And for me, I think as Christians, we either believe the Bible or we don't. You can't cuddle up to the world's redefinition of marriage and human sexuality and also say you're a Bible believing Christian. That's my view. But this also goes into the social sciences. This shows so this is not just quoting scripture and verse. This is actually going back through the studies. It's footnoted, as you said. Now they don't like that. They don't like the fact that there's studies out there, and they've tried very hard to try to keep these studies from being done.
Right. And this is one of the ironic things is that you have large professional organizations like the American Psychiatric Association and the American Psychological Association that have promoted the LGBT agenda very actively. And so people see that and they assume that the science must be on their side. And that is not an assumption that people should make because you have to, for example, the American Psychological Association, I know you spoke to the pastor in Michigan who's dealing with the is being accused of trying to perform so-called conversion therapy. They did a task force report that's the major publication that people always point to on that issue, but people don't realize that it actually says in the fine print, if you read the whole report, that there's no scientific evidence that this is harmful, and there's actually no research that's been done on this with respect to minors at all, even though that's what they're targeting. So a lot of times the evidence either is absent or directly contradicts what you hear, even from some of these professional organizations.
Yeah,
that's why those footnotes are so important to be able.
And look, while we are Christians and we know the Bible, we know it's true. When we're dealing with a biblically illiterate culture, we have to use the social science, and that's what this does. Because oftentimes, you're just opposed to transgenderism because you're religious.
Right. Well, that's right. And so this is primarily covering the social science and the medical and psychological science and so forth. But we also deal with the issue, the accusation that is thrown at us of being hateful. And we try to explain why there is nothing hateful about our position. First of all, we're speaking the truth. But secondly, it's because we desire the best for these people. We feel compassion for people who suffer these conditions. But we don't think that the solution that's being offered by the culture is really what's in their best interest.
Yeah. So how can people use this?
Well, they should get a copy of it on at our website. It's already the PDF is posted at FRC.org, and there will be print copies available for order or at some of our events.
And they can use this in their Sunday school classes at their church and in the conversations. I think it's important for parents to talk to kids about this because the kids are being told a whole different message in
right.
our schools.
And even in the Christian community, there is a lot of misunderstanding about some of these issues.
Once again, great job, Peter Sprigg. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming back after the break. Does billionaire and liberal mega donor George Soros have a network of allies that is threatening Europe? That's our conversation next. When we return, don't go away.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God. But culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Let me remind you, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you miss anything on your way home, you can find it all later right there archived. In fact, all of our programs archived there. A lot of good information. All right, one of the big debates on the Capitol Hill going on right now, immigration. In fact, talking to a number of members today up on Capitol Hill about the where this debate was going, whether the House going to take the lead or the Senate. Well, the United States is not the only country wrestling with this, okay? In fact, Hungary's government, led by Prime Minister Viktor Orban, a strong conservative that has championed biblical values in Hungary, has introduced legislation that would empower the Interior Minister to ban non-governmental organizations, that's NGOs, that support migration and pose a national security risk. Now, he's going after one in particular that's been driving this issue, and it's George Soros. He is one who has been using his money to undermine conservative governments around the world, oftentimes teaming up with our own State Department, especially under the last administration. Joining us now is Zoltán Kovács. He is a spokesman for the government of Hungary. Zoltán, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello.
This is designed. Tell our listeners what the prime minister is trying to do here with limiting the ability to these non-governmental organizations to influence the debate when it comes to the migration there into Eastern Europe.
If I may remind the listeners actually to the fact that for the past 3 years, since 2015, we've been very consequently closing the loopholes by which or through which so-called NGOs, especially internationally frameworked NGOs, were misusing, abusing the existing legal system in Hungary and in the European Union. If you take a look what happened, say, in Italy recently, the loopholes there were partly closed by the recent government. We've been continuing our efforts for the past 3 years to do so at the borders of Hungary, especially the so-called Schengen border, which is the border of the European Union with Serbia. So we have set up a threefold defense system that is the fence itself. So this is a physical barrier, reinforcing our personnel on the ground, and also, as I mentioned, closing the loopholes. Again, Mr. Soros and the like-minded people are funding organizations in Hungary and globally, which are basically working for helping, facilitating intercontinental mass migration. They would like to basically manage what is happening in the globe and put it into the legal systems of countries and the international community, including the European Union.
Now, Zoltan, the concern here is twofold. One, there's a national security concern because we're seeing people come across these borders that are a security threat to Hungary and other countries there. And then secondly, it's also a threat to the values, trying to dilute and try to supplant the conservative values that, quite frankly, the current prime minister and government is gained a lot of support from the citizens of Hungary.
I fully agree. Back in 2015, Hungary has witnessed over 400,000 people crossing its borders, passing through the country without our consent, without our and the European Union's ability to check their identity, perform those security checks that are normal if you talk about a normal citizen. So if I'm required to travel to the United States as a politician, I need a visa. And certainly I have to go through security screenings, a couple of personal discussions and so on. Now imagine that is not happening with people who are coming from all over the globe. We've seen people coming from over 100 countries, including many where there are civil war and where we know that terrorists or those who were participating in war acts were fleeing the country. And as a matter of fact, let me remind you that we now have evidence, actually, that some of those, actually, who perpetrated the Paris or the Belgian, the Brussels terrorist attacks came through Hungary and through the illegal migration waves. Indeed, this is a very serious and grave security danger and threat. That's why we have set up those defensive measures I mentioned before. And also, keep in mind that most of those who are arriving, and we've been outspoken on that, are arriving from Muslim countries. And this is not a religious issue, so we don't have problems with Muslim people. But it is a cultural issue, because those who are arriving are coming from a completely different cultural environment, which eventually, and that's what we see actually in some parts of Western Europe already, are building up parallel societies, so closed social groups, which basically don't follow those regulations that are so dear to us, and especially they don't follow those cultural patterns, actually, that are mm-hmm. the basis for Europe.
And that's what makes a country.
That's what makes a country, I'm sorry.
Yes,
that's right. And that's why we insist actually on borders and boundaries. A community without borders is not a country.
Exactly. Absolutely. Zoltan, we're up against a break. I want to thank you for joining us. And I, for one, appreciate the strong stands that Prime Minister Orban has taken. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Zoltan Kovac, spokesman for the government of Hungary. And by the way, they're not banning these NGOs. They're just saying they can't get outside money, international money. If they get it, it has to be taxed. They just want full disclosure. All right, we're coming back with more Washington Watch after this. Don't go away. Still a lot to talk about. Stay with us.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out. And all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
Back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. So glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Okay, before we move to our next topic, I just wanted to kind of wrap up our conversation about George Soros. All right, this is happening all across the all around the globe, where Soros is matching money with NGOs, as non-government organizations, and creating these entities then to agitate and work for policy that is undermining of conservative principles in government. Now, it's interesting. Hungary, actually where he's from, but he is now living in the United States, using his billions of dollars to advance liberal policies. Now, under the Obama administration, what he did is he would go in, and this happened actually in Hungary. It happened in several Eastern Europe countries and in Latin America as well. He would go in, create these NGOs, a little seed money. They would apply for these USAID grants and other grants from our country, our foreign policy. And then use that to advocate for abortion, the LGBTQ rights, and so immigration, which is what the case was here. And Viktor Orban, who is the prime minister there, is really a solid guy. And they're simply trying to preserve policies that are pro-Hungarian, that are good for their families and good for their country, protect them, security. So it's interesting. They're starting to push back, fight back against George Soros. I hope we will see our State Department push back against George Soros, because some of that is still happening. Yes, it's still there. All right. On Tuesday's program, we talked with a pastor in just south of Detroit, Pastor Jeremy Shalsho, who is the well, you'll recall he was hosting a workshop called Unashamed Identity, and it was created for girls only, 12 to 16, who were struggling with thoughts that they might be transsexual, bisexual, gay, or other. And it was basically walk them through the what the Bible has to say about human sexuality. Now, as a result, he received death threats, threats to burn down his home, to burn down the church. State lawmakers even launched an investigation. Well, today, Michigan pastors held a press conference urging state legislators to stop attacking the church. This is reminiscent of Houston, where the mayor down there, remember this a few years ago, where the mayor, Anise Parker, issued subpoenas for the sermons of pastors? This is very, very similar. Calling for the church to be investigated, calling on the Attorney General to investigate this church simply for offering to have a conversation with those who are struggling with issues. Well, FRC on the ground up there helping Pastor Jeremy and working with other pastors there in the state of Michigan. And joining us now is Randy Wilson. He is FRC's National Field Director for Church Ministries, and he just was at a press conference that was held there with pastors in Michigan. Randy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much. Glad to be on the show, Tony.
All right, so how did the press conference go?
Press conference was great, Tony. We had 10 pastors, maybe a few more, that came from Sturgis, from Detroit, a little bit north here in Lansing, and some from Lansing. It was a great group of pastors concerned about the government reaching into their business of taking care of their people and ministering to them, which is what the pastors are there to do.
These pastors responding to the attacks on another pastor, were there any government officials there as well?
Yes, we had a couple pastor legislators here that came down from their offices and stood with the pastors. So they're very engaged on this issue. What I saw, Tony, was a group of pastors that are aware they're engaged. And that was much of the purpose of the press conference, was to take a stand and call other pastors across the state of Michigan, but also speak to the pastors at large across the nation here and encourage them to work together, to stand together, and to raise their voices together about these issues that the government continues to reach into the churches to direct.
So, Randy Wilson, what was the main, I know as you just described kind of the purpose here, what was the main message that some of these other pastors from Michigan had for the media and for these elected officials that are calling for the investigation?
Well, that was basically to, you know, let them do their job, to answer the questions, to minister to the people, because that was, you know, that's what drove Pastor Jeremy to offer this class. This really was it was just a response to a growing need in their church. The continual ask for help, because what he saw was, and we got a response from one of the gals that was in this first class. And she came in. She said she was suicidal. She had already made a commitment to commit suicide. She came to the class. She was able to unload her burden there to say that the peers I'm in the middle of, they're all engaged with all this sexual stuff going on, and they're putting pressure on me to join them, to experiment, to be a part of that group. And she said, I didn't want to have anything to do with that. And so that's why she was suicidal. And leaving the class, she was able to understand what her place was, that there was concern, for her, and that she could stand and say no. And she came back to life because the pastor offered this, because it was available to church.
And I've seen that before. I've seen that where pastors are just simply willing to speak truth in love, but speak the truth nonetheless. And as a result, people find freedom because they find the truth.
Right.
Randy, let me ask you about Pastor Jeremy, since we had him on Tuesday. I know at the time they were still having a lot of negative things said about them, attacks, threats. Have things calmed down there? Is there still a lot of agitation on the other side?
Well, he said there's a sense that things are calming down. I mean, there's still going to be a protest tonight. We're going back to his church to stand guard. But he said they've had to shut down their whole Facebook page because they just couldn't keep up. They were being overwhelmed with all of this vitriol, this anger, this venom from the other side that preaches tolerance, right? And so they had to shut that down. But they said that there's a calm coming. And they're happy about that. But they will continue to do their workshops because that's what the people are asking for, the need that they have, and they're meeting those needs, which is what they're called to do, right?
Well, Randy Wilson, as always, great to hear from you. Thanks for being out there, standing on the front lines with these pastors. You're kind of like the airborne, just kind of drop in there to help these pastors out who find themselves surrounded and under attack simply for proclaiming truth and trying to help people.
Well, that's true, and that's why we're out here. We wanted to stand with Jeremy and let him know that he was not standing alone. And that's our message to pastors across the country. If you get into trouble, we'll come stand with you. And we'll connect you with others that will stand. And you know, we finished the whole press conference with the words of a courageous man in his time that spoke truth to power, Martin Luther King, that said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." And it was a call to pastors to stand up and speak to the people and not back down.
Amen. Randy Wilson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony. God bless you all.
All right. Randy Wilson, he is our national field director for our Watchman on the Wall Pastors Ministry Outreach to Churches. You can find out more by going to TonyPerkins.com, following the links over. I want to underscore something he said, and this is really was the genesis of our outreach to pastors, which we now have close to 14,000 what we call watchman pastors in our network. These are pastors who are actively engaged with, get resources from us. And I made this pledge, and I actually remember making it with Dr. Ronnie Floyd, Pastor Springdale, Arkansas, who's also now the chairman of the National Day of Prayer and a member of our board, that we did a simulcast at his church because he had in his 4th of July message, he simply did a comparison. It was back during, I think, 2004, during the election, just did a comparison of where the candidates stood on the issues. And, you know, you get one of these atheist organizations coming in threatening to take away their tax exemption. And we did a simulcast there at his church because it became a national issue. And Dr. Dobson and several others, and we were there on a Sunday night. And you know, I said, when a pastor speaks the truth and finds himself under attack, that pastor no longer will stand alone. When a pastor stands for the truth, we will stand with them, no matter where they are. We'll go across the country, and that's what Randy Wilson is doing there with Pastor Jeremy in Metro City Church in Detroit. So they had a press conference this afternoon, and pastors rallied around him, and no doubt I'm sure he found that encouraging to know that he was not alone, as other Watchman pastors there in Michigan gathered today for this press conference. So, pastors, I want to encourage you to, if you're listening, to consider joining, linking arms with pastors all across the nation as watchmen on the wall, watchmen of in our communities, watchmen in our nation. We, kind of our challenge to pastors is to think nationally but act locally. Oftentimes when we look at the problems, we look at the trends in America, we see what's happening in places like Florida, and that happened yesterday, the tragedy there, and we think we can't do anything about it. We can. We don't have to. We see what's happening nationally, but we can act locally. We can make a difference. You can make a difference right where you are by engaging your school. Dr. Tony Evans, good friend, has a great program of adopting schools. And in this program, where it's kind of a mentoring program, where you adopt a school and you go in and you help, and there's other programs out there. There's many programs out there that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. By going into our schools, mentoring programs, helping those troubled youth before they get onto the wrong path and it's too late. So we can see what's happening. We can see the trends. But we don't just have to stand there and wring our hands. We don't have to just curse the darkness. We can bring light to the situation. So think nationally, but act locally. And you can be a part of our Watchmen Network. Again, go to TonyPerkins.com. In fact, coming up every year in May, we have our annual Watchmen on the Wall Pastors Conference here in Washington, D.C. So I'll be talking more about that in the weeks ahead. But that's a gathering of pastors from across the nation that come here and hear from national spiritual leaders as well as political leaders. And it's a great, great gathering so that you are reminded that you are not alone. You know, you're not alone. There are 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal that are out there. Actually, there's actually more. There's more than 7,000. So, good. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Okay, let me just kind of wrap this up. Going back to what we talked about at the very beginning about the True Blue Awards, okay? This is very important, okay? Very important. Go to TonyPerkins.com and see where your member of Congress was on the True Blue list. We had 245 True Blues, a lot, most ever. Take the time to see where they were and then send them a note saying, hey, I saw that you were a True Blue recipient, that you voted 100% on family issues. Send them a note, say thank you. Appreciate your stand for the family. Thanks for standing for freedom. Thanks for defending our faith. And it mean a whole lot for them to hear a positive comment. Again, you might have disagreed with them on other issues, and guess what? You might disagree with them tomorrow. But today, take the time to pat them on the back and tell them, attaboy, good job, or attagirl, whatever the case may be. So that's, I cannot overemphasize the importance of that because these guys are getting beat up. The press going the different direction, and they just need some encouragement, some positive encouragement. So do that for me, okay? Do it for me. Go to TonyPerkins.com. All right. Out of time for today, but I want to thank you for making a difference. And remember this. Remember, the Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians 6. When you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. Again, that's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.